Did you know that the Bible talks more about hell than about heaven? You know, you'd be inclined to think that since Christians are looking forward to going to heaven, that the Bible would have more to say about heaven, but it doesn't. It tells us more about hell than it does about heaven. And did you know that the Lord Jesus Christ also preached about hell? Well, you should know that because we've just read a passage in the Bible about hell. The story of the rich man and Lazarus is a fairly well-known story. But let's look at that story today from the rich man's viewpoint. Let's say about 60 seconds after he died. The rich man. And as we look at him, notice first of all in this passage that we have read that the rich man was tormented in the flames of hell. In verse 23, we won't all talk about the earlier verses. You know, he had a grand funeral, I'm sure. A grand send-off. A lot of people would have been there. But we're not worried about that send-off. But in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And the next verse he said, I am tormented in this place. The rich man maybe it didn't even take 60 seconds after he died for him to realize that. But he was tormented in the flames of hell. Now, how much do you know about hell? Now, one of these subjects probably that we don't like to talk about a great deal, and yet the Bible, as I indicated, has a lot to say about hell, and we're not going to spend an awful lot of time on this, but just a few observations. One is that hell actually is a prepared place. Now, we know that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. We know that. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. But hell is also a prepared place. We see that in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Prepared. Hell, just as heaven, is a prepared place. Prepared by God for the devil and his angels and for those who have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only should we know that hell is a prepared place, we should know also that hell is a place which endures forever. Still in Matthew 25, again that same verse, verse 41, everlasting fire, we read here. And then in verse 46 in that same chapter, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. But the righteous into life eternal. Well, we know that. But these, the unbelievers, those who have rejected Christ, shall go away into everlasting punishment. Now, there's more verses in the Bible to talk about that, and we'll probably look at another one just a little bit later on. But this should be sufficient for us. Now, hell also is a place of suffering. We've already seen that in the rich man as he is in torment, tormented in the flame. But if we look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 28, Jesus says here, Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's why we say hell is a place of suffering, soul and body in hell. I think often when we think of hell, we would think of it as a place of fire and brimstone. Fire, I've mentioned before how the word that is frequently used for hell, basically two words in the New Testament. There is Hades and Gehenna. Hades is the place of the departed dead, but Gehenna was actually a place outside the city wall of Jerusalem, and it was a local, what do we call it, garbage dump. That's where the people of Jerusalem would take their rubbish. They didn't have garbage service like we have here today, but they did have a place where they could dump their garbage. And the historians tell us that that place, Gehenna, was always burning. People had dumped their rubbish, they would start fires to burn off their rubbish. And I remember first going to America back in 1960. We didn't have garbage collection where we lived. We had to take our garbage to the local dumping place. And I remember three things about it. One was the fires. There were always fires burning. Second thing that I remember were the rats. And the third thing was the smell. Something that you don't forget. And so we think of hell as a place of fire, but also a place of brimstone, fire and brimstone. And these are mentioned together actually quite a number of times. Just making a reference here in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 10. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. What is brimstone? Fire, we know. Brimstone basically is sulfur. Alright, and when you read that expression, fire and brimstone, it gives the idea of volcanic activity. So, the volcanic activity, you know, we have the volcanoes, whether it's in Indonesia, or whether you go to Italy, or wherever you have the volcanoes, and the fire is coming up, the smoke, the smell, you know, hydrogen sulfide doesn't smell the best. Some of you know that smell from chem lab, as well as from other places, like rotten eggs. Not a very pleasant smell. But that's the idea of the fire and the brimstone. In Revelation, not only that verse, can also mention in Revelation chapter 20. Let me read first verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. That's chapter 19. I said chapter 20. And the devil that deceived him was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So again, we see that hell is a place which endures forever, but it's a place of fire and brimstone. And then in Revelation 20, the last verse, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. 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 And then, if you want one more, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. But the fearful, now listen carefully to the list of that names of people here, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's hell. Not a pleasant subject. And yet one that the Bible talks about. And something that we should note. You know, if I think of this, I'm reminded of an incident that happened in one particular church. They were looking to get a new pastor, and they had one man preach there, and he preached on hell. And the week after, they had another candidate that they were considering as possible pastor for their church, and he also preached on hell. And afterwards, these church people got together in the board, and they discussed it, and they called one of the two. And it was only later that the pastor that they called for the church found out that the other man had also preached on that same subject of hell. And he asked him, "Why did you select me and not the other fellow?" And they told him that the other fellow preached on hell and preached a good sermon. But it seemed that he was glad that people were going to hell. But when you preached on going to hell, it was as if your heart were breaking. You know, this is no laughing matter. Our hearts should be breaking when we think of hell. Suffering forever and ever, burning with fire and brimstone. Let me ask you, are you sure that you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you sure that you will not go to hell? Are you sure that you will go to heaven? If you're not sure that you'll go to heaven, I would plead with you, come to Christ today. Don't put it off. Don't delay. Trust Christ now. He will save you. That's His promise. "And if it cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." When you believe on Him, confess your sins to Him. Ask Him, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, save me." He will do that. Then you can be sure that you will not go to hell. That you will not go to that place that endures forever. There's no such thing as soul sleep. Oh, you die, you know, you just, the soul goes to sleep. And no, there's a real place called hell. And there are people there, even today. Come to Christ. A rich man in hell. That's the first thing. He was tormented in the flames of hell. Didn't take long after he died. Just a few seconds. And he already cried out, "I'm tormented in this flame." He cried out, you know, "Let Lazarus come and dip his tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am tormented in this flame." Trust Christ. Escape the flames of hell. But that's not the only thing I want you to see in this passage. I also want you to see that the rich man prayed to Father Abraham. Now, note, as I said, he prayed to Father Abraham. That's not who you pray to. All right? Let's get that straight from the beginning here. You pray to God. All right? You don't pray to Abraham. You pray to God. But the rich man prayed to Abraham. Verse 24, he cried and said, "Father Abraham." And then in verse 27, then he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father." Again, referring to Abraham. And then in verse 30, "Nay, Father Abraham." Don't pray to Father Abraham. Pray to your heavenly Father. Pray to God. But one thing that can be said, that is, can be said in the rich man's favor, he did pray, and that's a good thing. So you certainly have to think about that. But do you think he would have prayed if he was in heaven? Do you think he prayed before he died? I don't think so. There's no indication that he ever had any relationship with God. I mean, if he had a relationship with God, he would have gone to heaven. So we know that he didn't go to heaven. So he never trusted Christ, never believed. But he did pray. And of course, Jesus thought that man ought always to pray and not to faint. The Apostle Paul, writing church in Thessalonica, says, pray without ceasing. The Lord in Jeremiah 33:3, some people have called that God's telephone number. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We have these different verses. A lot more, obviously, on prayer. But you know, when he was in torment, that's when he decided to start praying. Don't wait till you're in torment before you start praying. But like the rich man in hell, we should pray for the lost in our personal prayers, in our church prayer meeting. Pray. Pray daily. We need to pray. Don't wait till you're in torment like the rich man. Yes, he did start praying. It's good he prayed. But it was a little bit too late for him. Pray while you can. While you are alive. And then there's just one more thing that I want you to note about the rich man in hell. First of all, he was tormented in the flames. Secondly, he prayed. Not the right way, but he prayed. Prayed to Father Abraham. And then thirdly, the rich man was concerned for his lost brothers. Now during his lifetime, he was never concerned for his lost brothers. He wasn't concerned about anybody. All he cared about was eat, drink, and be merry. That's what he did. He fared sumptuously every day. He had a big bacan every day. Big dinner. But now, all of a sudden, he is concerned for his lost brothers. He had a vision, we might say, for the lost. Proverbs 29:18 tells us, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now all of a sudden he has that vision. My brothers need Christ. My brothers need to believe. Well, he finally had a vision. And we, you and I, we need a vision for what God can do through us. A vision for the work of God in our church. What is your vision for this church, say 5 years from now? Ever thought about that? Good question. Alright. Think about that. What is your vision for the future of this church? But it was not till he was in hell that the rich man had a vision for the lost. He realized at that point too the need for missions. Because the rich man in hell wanted to send out missionaries. Let's read this again. Alright? Now, he, first of all, wanted Lazarus to come and put some water on his tongue. But that was out of the question. So then he said in verse 27, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, that is Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. So all of a sudden he is now concerned about his brothers. Abraham said to them, they have Moses and the prophets, let him hear them. He said, no, Father Abraham. If one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. All of a sudden, he realized the need for missions, to send out missionaries. Send Lazarus to my brothers. When he was alive, he didn't care. But just a few seconds in hell, please, send Lazarus to my brothers. There's nothing that can be done for me, then do something for him. Well, unfortunately, it doesn't work that way, does it? Because Abraham said that they hear not Moses and the prophets. In other words, that they hear not the word of God, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. They're not going to believe. Even if somebody came back from the dead, oh, it's a ghost. They wouldn't believe it. But now he's concerned about missions. A vision for the lost. The need for missions. Now he is concerned about his brothers. But when he was alive, no concern at all for either his own sake or his brothers. And that's the sad thing that so often people today, eat, drink, be merry, let's have fun. Talk about spiritual things. Don't talk to me about spiritual things. I was told when I first came to Australia, 27 years ago, don't, the first time you meet an Aussie, talk to him about spiritual things. If you do, it will also be the last time you don't talk to him about spiritual things. You've got to get to know the Aussies first. Establish some kind of rapport with them. Once you get to know them better, then eventually you may be able to talk about spiritual things. But Australia is a lucky country. Aussies have everything they need. They don't need God. That's the attitude of many of the people in Australia today. Well, talk to a lot of people, and you'll find that the churches that have predominantly Asian congregations are the churches that are growing. But the churches with a predominantly white Australian population, they're not growing. They're dying. Sad, isn't it? But that's the situation. Go to a country like England, go to London, about 3% of the population goes to church. Not very much, is it? England, country that sent out all these great missionaries. That was in the 19th century. We live in the 21st century. Even Australia is still sending out missionaries, but not very many. We need a concern that people don't go to this place of torment and anguish called hell. I won't comment on these, but just listen to 7 statements about hell. Hell is a place of memory of lost opportunities. Hell is a place of regret over deeds committed. Hell is a place of absolute hopelessness. Without Christ, a hopeless end, but with Christ, an endless hope. Hell is a place of absolute hopelessness. Hell is a place of eternal separation. Eternal separation from loved ones, but also eternal separation from God. Hell is a place of fire. We've already talked about that. Hell is a place of remorse for not listening to the Word of God. And hell is a place without opportunity. sad, isn't it, when you think about it? A place of memory of lost opportunities. A place of regret over deeds committed. A place of absolute hopelessness. A place of eternal separation from loved ones and from God. A place of fire. A place of remorse for not listening to the Word of God. And a place without opportunity. Some time ago, an announcement came over the public address system of a large hardware store. It was not in Australia, but it was one of these large stores like Bunnings or Mitre 10 or what have you. The announcement said this: attention, employees and shoppers, we have a code Adam. There's a 3-year-old boy with dark blonde hair wearing a light blue shirt who has disappeared. Please help us look for him. The entire store went on alert. Of course, people were afraid that someone might have abducted him. But there was a sense of urgency and purpose as all people forgot about shopping and started searching. Wherever they were in the store, they started looking. Look here, look there, you know. Police were called. They were positioned at the doors, keeping an eye on anybody trying to go out. And for the next few minutes, both shoppers and employees fanned out across the store, looking in every good hiding spot. After about 10 minutes, another announcement was made. Cancel code Adam. The little boy has been found. And then something happened that I imagine you've never experienced before, because there were cheers and applause that could be heard from all parts of the store, and there were smiles everywhere. One of the employees mentioned a little boy had just crawled behind one of the large displays. Somebody found him. But you know, when that announcement was made, the entire store went on alert. People forgot about their shopping. They started searching. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had the same kind of urgency and unity to go out into our community and to search out lost boys and girls and men and women who are headed to an eternity without Christ. May God help us to have a genuine burden for the lost, and may we do our part to try and bring them to Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may we have an urgency, a burden for the lost. The rich man in hell had a vision for the lost. He realized the need for missions. Oh Lord, help us to see the need for missions and missionaries, for home missions, for foreign missions. Whether it be of places like Esperance or Myanmar, our other places that we know, Lord, help us to have a real burden for the lost, and help us do our part to try and to bring them to Christ. And Father, we pray, if there be anyone here today, maybe one, maybe two, maybe more, that have not yet come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may remember that hell is a place of suffering for eternity. May they, in faith, even right now, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask this in Jesus' name.